the assistant coach for the Toronto Raptors, Mr. Rex Kalamian. Hey, Rex, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
It is. How good is this morning for the coaching staff after going through what you've gone through and two games have? Describe the satisfaction as you wake up this morning, or is it just, hey, we got another series we got to get to?
Well, it's always good the next morning when you wake up after a win, regardless of what it is. But to still be alive today in terms of NBA basketball, it's great for us because, you know, this could very easily have been our last day of basketball yesterday for the season. And I don't think anybody really wanted it to end, especially in that way at home, a game seven. So waking up, you know, it was an extremely late night and an early morning for me personally, because after our game, I probably got to enjoy it for an hour or so, and I started already looking at what Cleveland presents to us and the problems and the film and everything else. So it's an early morning for me so far.
Yeah, it's the way that you and obviously Dwayne Casey do things, right? You know, it's next order of business, and it's commendable, and obviously the reason why the Toronto Raptors are in the situation that they're in. After the game, obviously you guys sat around talking about some of the things that went right, but did you guys sit around talking about, wow, thank God Kyle and DeMar showed up, or did you have any reservations as to whether or not they would be as big as they were in the final three games against the Heat?
Not really, to be honest with you. We knew that at some point those two guys were going to start to play. Now, that they played that well together on the same night, it was just perfect for us. It was a perfect storm for us. You know, Kyle comes out and just shoots the way he did it from three-point range, 5 for 7, and DeMar coming out and being aggressive like he was. He had 28 points. That they did that together on the same night and on the biggest game of their career was really special. It was special for them, and it's special for us and for the entire city. But we, as a coaching staff, never really doubted those guys. We knew they were going through, you know, some tough times, whether it was some games in the Indiana series and some games in this Miami series. But, you know, they're winners, and they put a lot of work in, and their work showed last night, all the work they put in throughout the summer and this season.
One of the most hotly criticized, I guess, coaching decisions, and you know, we can say we criticized it, was not having Bismack Biyombo in for that overtime game. I think it was in game four, was it not? Game three or four?
Yes.
Game four.
Yes.
And one of the things that, you know, it's funny because we criticized it, and Dwayne Casey said, hey, you know, the coaches, we don't just decide that guys aren't playing. There's analytics that go into it, and I let guys do their job. And then the next game, and it was always, you know, it was a matchup thing. We need offense in there. He wasn't giving us much offense. That whole narrative changed in game five, and Biz was tremendous. But what was that decision-making process like for you to say, hey, listen, didn't work. Obviously, we lost. Maybe this is something we need to ride and do this again, because you went to him time and time again. He played the majority of the minutes in all three of those games.
Well, first of all, you know, those decisions a lot of times are talked about prior to the game. I mean, a lot of that stuff we've already kind of scripted, and we've already thought about, and we've talked about. Now, things change, obviously. There's a lot of different things that change in a game that will change our opinion on what we want to do. But, you know, the difference between staying big with Biz at five or going small with Patrick Patterson at five and putting another skill player in, sometimes those decisions are made because of what the score is and how we are scoring offensively and what we need, if we need more shooting, more skill on the floor. Maybe how Kyle and DeMar are playing. If they're not playing very well, we may need a Terrence Ross or more Corey Joseph or another player like that, more DeMarre Carroll. So some of that stuff, you know, if you look back at the game prior to that, I think it was game three, we ended the game with Patrick Patterson at five, and I don't think there was a lot of fanfare about that. We won the game. Now all of a sudden the next game we actually went to the same lineup and it didn't work the next game, and I think probably unfairly criticized for it. But you know, those are things that, you know, I mean, as a coach, as a head coach, for sure you're making 1,000 decisions in a game, and that's one of 1,000 decisions that you make as to whether you want to play a certain player at the end of a game, and you know, who you feel like is going to get you a big basket or what the moment holds. But you know, I think after that game, we talked about it and we decided that regardless of the situation, we want to stay big, and big is good for us. And Biz, when he's at his best, like he was last night, he's defending, rebounding, and he's rolling into the paint and to the rim and putting a lot of pressure on the defense. And that's what he did last night.
Yeah, he was defending the perimeter a little bit yesterday, too. It was, I mean, he's a pretty versatile guy. I mean, he really is, and it was great to watch. And he's a great story. But what you're saying is you don't often listen to radio hosts and the fans when making coaching decisions. Is that correct?
No, not often. I actually don't listen to talk radio very often at all. But, hey, listen, sometimes you come up with some good ideas. I get it.
Yeah, well, not often, but thanks. It's nice of you. Rex Kalamian, he's the assistant coach of the Toronto Raptors. Of course, Raptors now booking their ticket. You guys going to Cleveland tomorrow night, 8:30 on Sportsnet or the Sportsnet app. This is a big task, you know, and we just had Mitch Lawrence on from Forbes and the Sporting News and Sirius XM, who said, you know, all the basketball guys he talks to don't give the Raptors a fighting chance. But you're in it, right? Is there a way that you can prepare defensively, or what is your game plan going into this seemingly uphill series against the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James?
Well, they pose a lot of different problems. I mean, when you look at the 8 games they've played so far in the playoffs, you know, they're shooting an unbelievable percentage from three-point range. They have 6 guys today that would lead the league in three-point shooting after 8 games in their series, and they're taking a number of them too. Irving, Love, Smith, Jefferson, Shumpert, they're all over 46-47% from 3 in their 8 games in the playoffs. Now, if you look at it, by the time we'll play them tomorrow night, it will have been 32 days they've played 8 games total because of their 2 sweeps. So they're a very rested bunch. They play very fast. They're up and down the floor. Obviously, they have multiple threats off the dribble between Irving and James and Smith and a lot of different guys that can put the ball on the floor and do a lot of damage. So they're coming at you a lot of different ways. They rebound the heck out of the basketball, especially offensively with Tristan Thompson. He gives them a lot of second opportunities. And they're not a team that looks for the first open shot. They really pass the basketball, they move it, and they find open corner threes, which is a very high percentage shot. So we're really going to have to be on top of our game defensively, especially in transition.
Rex, if I wanted to put a bet on which game Jonas Valanciunas is going to play in this series, which game should I bet on?
Wow.
Hey, see what he's doing? Rex, see what he's doing?
I'm just asking.
I think you just have to flip a coin. I have no idea. I mean, it all depends, right, on the healing process of his ankle. And
where's he at now?
I really don't know, because we've been so locked into what's happening with Miami and the players that are playing. I see him on the training table every day. He's getting treatment every single day. Probably every waking moment that he's up, he gets treatment or he has something done to his ankle. But I don't know where the process is right now, and I don't know how much it's healed so far, you know, in the past week or so.
You'll forgive us if I don't believe that you don't know, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I just want to say, you have to understand how difficult it is to be one of the 4 teams remaining playing right now. I don't think people really understand, you know, sacrifice, the planning, the work, the discipline, practice, and most of all, the luck that it takes to be able to play 100 games or 100 plus games in 7 months and still be one of the 4 teams. And like, you know, for us, when I say luck, you have to overcome injury. And fortunately for us, we were able to beat Miami even without JV. And had we had him, I think that would have probably been a shorter series, in my opinion, because he's been dominant for us throughout the playoffs. But there's a tremendous amount of luck that goes along with all the other things in order to be able to still be playing right now.
So yeah. Game 3.
Stop it. No, you're right. You know, you think about you being a Final Four team. You're one of the Final Four teams playing to get into the finals, and your series, both of them went 7 games. Those are battles. It doesn't care how you win or lose. Those are battles. You played the maximum amount of games you can play in a season to date. You're coming off a 56-win season where you're banged up. Damari Carroll misses a bunch of the season. You had Jonas on the bench for a couple of injuries as well. You know, it speaks to the depth of your team and guys, you know, role players. And one of the role players that I was so happy for yesterday, too, was Patrick Patterson. He was absolutely tremendous yesterday.
He really was, and I say it all the time. When Patrick is good, you know what? We're good as a team. And I don't mean when he scores a lot of points. When he's good, when he's active, when he's athletic like he was yesterday, when he's physical, when he plays that four position as a power forward inside but also a shooting forward outside, we're a really good team because he has a high IQ. As a basketball player, defensively and offensively, he moves the basketball. He shares it. Yeah, great team player. And I knew, and we had talked about it, that my one thing about our games all the time is that if Patrick could play his best basketball, we have a really good chance of winning it. I thought last night he was really, really good, especially on the offensive glass. What did he end up with? Like seven offensive rebounds. And he kept a lot of balls alive just by, you know, tapping him out and giving us extra possession. So he only shoots 2 for 8, but he's a plus 19 in the game. And he, to me, he was a huge reason as to why we won the series.